Hello, everyone. This is Steve Martin. Welcome to Stars on Tap. Today is December the 4th, 2013. Our guest today is the Ray Charles protege, an R&B artist in his own right that you've probably seen him in a lot of different things. You may not know exactly who he is at this point, but we get done. You're going to know who this man is. This is Ellis Hall. Welcome, Ellis.
Well, it's all right to be here, Brother Steve, with you.
Awesome. So, how are you?
I'm doing great, sir. As I said, and I say all the time, too blessed to be stressed, ready to bring some soul to any good folks who are willing to listen.
Awesome. Very good. First thing, before we get too far into what you got going on, I know you got something really cool going on. You just married the lovely Lahayla, who is my co-producer's manager, and I believe she's your manager as well.
She is. I'll tell you, my Leala is just, besides being intensely and over the moon in love with her, just knowing the business and Leala J Management, knows how to take care of what's going on and, you know, be for real and get it done. I'm for real about my music, and she's for real about making the business happen. Amen.
Well, I've heard nothing but good things about you both from Miss Raya.
Yes.
And she obviously thinks quite a bit of you guys, And I do too as well. And I'd just like to congratulate you on being married and being happy and all that good stuff that goes with it.
Well, I'll tell you, we got married literally three times. We call it our mini wedding tour. And the last one was by Elvis. You know, no wedding is self-respecting without Elvis marrying you. So we had one of the greatest Elvis impersonators, Brendan Paul Marius. And he was singing, Wise Men Say, and doing all this stuff. It was just brilliant. And, of course, what did we do after? Go to Five Guys Burgers and Fries.
That's good food.
Yeah, amen.
It sure is.
Yes, sir.
You haven't been blind since you were a teenager. You've never really let that define you as a person or as an artist.
No.
And I think that's really cool that you... You know, you never let that stop you.
Well, and I must tell you too, brother, about a year into my birth, they noticed that I was one of the first artists with what they call the double-clotted cornea, very few in the States, and congenital glaucoma. And they said eventually I would use or lose any sight that I had. So my parents, in their great infinite wisdom, decided to take me up to Boston to Perkins School for the Blind so I could learn how to be interdependent. And I cannot say enough how I appreciate that. I used to practice my instruments in the dark just so I could get to know what's going on. Because once I had my epiphany of music, there was no stopping.
That's an amazing thing. I mean, you know, people like myself that take sight for granted, you hear so much more and see so much more when you don't have one of those senses.
Yes.
And you've obviously made the best of what you could possibly make out of it, and I just commend you for that.
Well, thank you, sir. Thank you for recognizing. And again, it's about keeping the soul celebration alive.
Well, it is, and you know, I see that kind of stuff every day. I work in physical therapy since 1979, and I see all kinds of people that make something out of a deficit, if you will, in life, and bring it full circle to make it work for them, actually, in a lot of ways, and they're happy and that sort of thing. And it's just an amazing thing that the human mind and the human heart can go that way.
Well, here's a word that you can use. A dear friend of mine passed it on to me. Differently abled.
Yeah.
We use the, of course, disabled and some of the other thing. And everybody's challenged in some sort of way. But bottom line, nothing stops you but you if you have that mentality inside you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You have a brand new CD out. That you might want to tell us about.
We're working on it right now.
Okay.
It hasn't come out. In fact, one of the things we worked on is a Christmas EP.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Jingle All the Way, but there's also another CD. We haven't even decided completely what we're going to call it yet, but there's so many. I have over, well, it's been about 3,600 songs now.
Holy smoke.
So folks know me, although they don't know that they know me. So my lovely, I call her wife manager, is working on the branding process so that people connect the dots to, oh yeah, he's been in my house for years. I know him.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Yes.
So do you have a release date or?
Actually, no. But
okay,
we will have a big blast as to when it will come out. And I know my lovely Leala will probably call you and say, hey, Steve, it's out. And we tell Rhea and she'll tell you.
Sure. That'll be probably out on EllisHall.com and your Facebook.
Oh, yes,
and Twitter.
Absolutely, it will. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
As well as some other songs that we'll have up there.
Okay, great. That's Ellis Hall on Twitter is Ellis Hall 1056.
Yes, sir.
And I believe on Facebook it is just Ellis Hall.
Yeah, be my friend.
Be my friend. I absolutely will. I've got plenty, and there's plenty of room for more. It's just an amazing thing that you've got going on, especially right now. You're slated to play at the Kennedy Center on New Year's Eve for Mr. Obama.
Brother Steve, when we got that call, I got to tell you, well, there were two calls this year that were really intense for me. One was the Boston Pops for the third time on the 4th of July special, the fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a chance to help Boston heal from the marathon madness.
Sure.
And 500,000 of our closest friends on the second night, 300,000 on the first night. You don't want to make them mad. They were ready to rock and roll, soul style. And it was fun. And then getting the call to go and play for the Kennedy Center, being a headliner. Just how blessed. Absolutely.
Well, how gee whiz, I mean, How do you go into a show like that? What's the mindset? What kind of music do you play for that kind of an audience?
Soul. They want to hear some Motown. I do a salute to that, to some of my friends, like Stevie's a dear friend, and Marvin Gaye is amazing in what he did and
mm-hmm.
what he does to people. You know, music lives on. And of course, I was with a crazy bunch of characters called the Tower of Power. I was a lead vocalist and keyboardist. So we do a couple of things by them. And
I remember those guys.
Yeah. I say it again. The famous line is, they had a hit, what is hip? Tell me if you think you know. And now that we're older, it's, oh, my hip.
Gotcha. I'm getting there myself.
You know, it's crazy. Just, we have fun on stage getting people to laugh and come along with us. But it is. People want to hear this music.
They do.
And making the symphonies, 80-piece orchestra, bring that music alive. You know, obviously they're going to play the Tchaikovsky and Bach and, all these other things. But to play this music and make people tap their feet, they can't help but do it.
You also played at Bill Clinton's inauguration.
I did, indeed. And he requested, essentially he made a quote of, who is that kid?
I saw that.
He requested us. So when I went there, I got to meet him. And I also played at the writer of Will and Grace, the famous sitcom.
Yeah.
Well, he found out that I was there. So all of a sudden, I'm sitting at the piano playing and singing and having a good time. I hear this rustle and people getting out the way, and security comes up and taps me on the shoulder, and all of a sudden, Bill Clinton practically picks me up off the piano bench and says, how the heck are you?
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Oh, my God, Mr. President.
Did you tell him that you didn't inhale either?
No. I told him it was good for my pressure.
I gotcha. Okay.
He's just, God bless him, just an amazing, brilliant man, you know, and just lovely inside out from what I've met of him anyway.
Well, you know, that's an awful hard job to be in the middle of, and to be judged every day of your life for everything you ever said and done. Yep. We're all human. We all make mistakes. We all do things as children, as teenagers.
Yeah.
And you just can't hold a lot of that stuff against people because we're human.
That's the truth. And I cannot wait to meet the president and lovely Mrs. Obama. You know, I hope I get to meet them along with my bride, Leala. We'll have a great time talking with them.
Imagine. And,
you know, we'll see what happens. But you've got to have serious thick skin to have that job.
You absolutely do. You absolutely do. And to be focused as well. You know, every decision you make is not going to be the correct decision.
That's for sure.
It can't possibly be. Everything can't possibly be the right call. I mean, because you most of the time you don't know how things are going to turn out.
Yeah.
Or a lot of that kind of stuff. And that's really all I want to say about that. But, yeah. You know, I mean, we're all human. And let's get over the fact that people make mistakes, because the people that are sitting there calling out the mistakes have made them as well.
Well, I'll tell you this. One thing's for sure, music tends to be the great mistake eradicator. Because once you get everybody together, you know, you finally get the chance to breathe. And the old phrase, let go and let God, you know, God is alive in the music, I truly believe.
Well, that's great. And as an autograph collector, you need to get Mr. Obama to sign something for you.
Oh,
at least take a picture and let
absolutely.
Me see it.
Yes, sir.
At least let me see it, you know?
Yeah, we will. We'll show it to you when we come to Louisville.
Yeah, absolutely. That'd be great.
Yeah.
You were the only artist to be signed to Ray Charles Crossover Records.
Yes, I was.
Tell me how that came about.
A fun story. Well, you know people, excuse me, sir, you know people when you do parties, they will tell you, oh, yeah, we're going to have this one there, we're going to have that one there. Well, this friend of mine, he owns a store, and another one co-managed the store, and he said, well, we're going to tell Ray to come down and see you. And I said, oh, thank you, fellas. I hope it happens. Well, we're up there ironically playing a song called I Can See Clearly Now. I have my band with me, and we're killing it. All of a sudden, this big hubbub in the room, and my production manager comes up to me and taps me on the shoulder. Hey, Mr. Charles is in the audience, and he wants to meet you right now. So in the middle of my solo, I stop, and the band still cooks, and we practically dove off the stage, killing ourselves, tried to get over, gave us big hugs, and said how he enjoyed what we were doing. He was jumping up and down, clapping while we were singing, and I gave him a CD, and he called me the next day, and he says, why hadn't I heard about you? I want to kick some serious fool, because some of my friends had told me about you. Ray had a lot of colorful expletives, of course.
Sure.
And it's a family show. So I went over, and he signed me, and he says, I want to do whatever I can to help you get out there. And he did his best, and I appreciate the gifts that he gave me. And when I was doing the symphonies, I've been officially doing them since 2006, and he signed me because he knew I wasn't trying to be him. He said, it's one of me. It don't need to be anymore. And I says, well, sir, you know, Mama taught me very early who Ellis Hall was. And so I just infused that into all sorts of stuff, and with all sorts of genres of music, because Ray used to say, only two kinds of music, good and bad. And he certainly proved that with modern sounds of country and some other things that he did. Again, let the music breathe, and it will guide you where you need to go.
Well, he certainly was a star in many ways. In many ways, not just music, not just that at all. You know, after you been with Jamie Foxx on the set of Ray, tell us about that little experience where you.
But Jamie found out, you know. Working with Ray on a couple of the things and consulting a little bit with him. And Jamie found out I was on the set. So he came back, he grabbed me and said, hey, there's a keyboard back here. Come on, play me something. So we started talking. I played him a little bit of Georgia and a couple of the tunes I was working on the Ray record with the Crossover label. And then when he won the Oscar, I had managers at the time, and they were scared to go up to talk to him. And I said, man, what are you talking about? But he found out somehow that I was in the audience. After all the festivities were over, he grabbed me and took me to the trailer. We hung out and stuff. And he was so mad because he said, I'd have called you up and given you your props. You deserve to be out there. So I haven't talked to him in a while, but friends tell me he still recognizes what I do.
You know, he's so talented of an individual.
Oh, my goodness, is he ever.
How do you go from being a comedian to doing a Ray Charles movie and then knocking it over dead with the music and just the whole thing? I mean,
he
grasped it so well.
If you're serious about your training and what you do, and his keyboard playing and, you know, his vocalizing, that's what you do as actors or whatever. You know, us musicians become actors or singers. Songwriters become actors, you know, because they want to take someone's experience and put it out there, or take your own experience and put it out there.
Sure, absolutely. And, you know, talking about being in film and video, you're no stranger to any of that stuff. Absolutely.
Yeah, I worked in the first Big Mama's house. I pop up on the screen and wave at everybody.
Yeah.
If you can. And one of my first movies was Arthur II on the Rocks. I wrote a song for that, and a movie called Perfect with John Travolta. I hear John probably wants to forget about that movie. But it was, and then Highlander 2, I was in that movie, and some television stuff like Wendy Years with
I remember that.
Fred Savage, and also a show that Brad Garrett did. He was the brother, the tall brother of Raymond. Everybody loves Raymond.
Yep.
And he had a show called Till Death with Jolie Fisher. And I happened to be one of the heavy music forces in that for the first season. So it was, I've had an illustrious career, especially as a California raisin.
I was going to ask you about that next. What's it like to be a California raisin? Actually,
only in this life can you be a teenage nut to a California raisin to a singing rooster, and I'm proud of it all.
Well, you've done a fine job. When those things first came out, they had little the little dolls. I don't remember where we got them exactly.
Don't have them.
Do you? Well, you
collection. Yes, sir.
You've been in my house.
Yes, sir.
Your raisin has been here.
Well, just recognize I'm the one with the blue glasses.
And I've probably stepped on you a few times.
Oh, don't do that. No, it's amazing that when I tell folks this, and when I did the Boston Pops at the 4th of July special, I says, understand that you are officially being entertained by a California raisin. And the crowd went, rah! You know, it was amazing how many people recognize that campaign.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it just, you know, commercials themselves stick to you like, I mean, they're like, it's almost like music.
It is.
You know, you can sit and see that commercial, and it'll take you back to that time that commercial was out there, and you can remember other things about your life and other things about your past.
It is.
That,
well, Budweiser, you know, paid my rent for 3 years. Thank you, Lord.
So you bet.
McDonald's and Budweiser and Walmart and stuff. So it's a whole jingle situation.
Well, I heard it through the grapevine.
Yeah, well,
I got you.
Well, you're Weisenheimer.
That's cool, though, really.
It is cool.
And you also done some work. It escapes me now. The movie, the scary movie for kids. What was that?
Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice, that's it. Yeah, it's the name of a star.
Yeah, my mother-in-law used to make a spider souffle to die for. In fact,
oh, no. That's cool. Was that in the movie, or was that at Universal?
Universal, who owned the rights to Beetlejuice, they had me be the voice for almost 10 years, and I put the music together for the big show. So everybody who came through Universal used to go see that show.
Okay.
I was a featured artist for that.
I see. I was wondering how that worked out.
Yeah, it was so cool. And I also, for the Ugly Bug Ball, I was a Baron of Bug. Baron of Bugway, a spider that told rather bad jokes, pun jokes, and played all the instruments. And my late wife, at the time she saw the script and said, "Oh my God, did they pin you?"
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was fun. And so that ran for about, I don't know, almost 5 years.
So everybody that went to Universal Studios.
No, that was California Adventure for that one.
That's great. Mm-hmm. That's great.
So they, a lot of folks, and of course they gave me credit on it and stuff. It was fun.
You also were in the movie Rhapsody, which my co-producer, the lovely Rhea Roma, produced in 2002. What was your role in that?
Rhapsody. I'm not recalling that one. I don't recall that one because I've worked on so many, because like Bruce Almighty and stuff. But I don't recall Rhapsody.
Okay. I think it had another name as well.
Yeah, it probably did, because I believe me when I tell you. Catch me if you can. I don't recall Rhapsody. But, hey, listen, if I was in it. And it's so funny, because on the IMBD, which talks about all the movies you did, mm-hmm. there are a couple of movies that I forgot I was even in, like JoJo Dancer, Your Life is Calling. I was playing music in that. The one about loosely based on Richard Pryor's life. So, you know.
That's really cool.
Don't hold it against me, because my mind, I had to frisk somebody because they stole my mind.
Well, they left you a good part of it.
Yeah.
They left you a very good part of it.
All right, sir.
Is there anything else you would like for us to know or talk about before we go?
Only the fact of, as we talked about, EllisHall.com mm-hmm. will have some of the new things coming up. We're doing some new symphonies, like, of course, Louisville coming. I believe it's the 25th, my good friend.
Okay.
So, we're looking at, we've been nominated for a Grammy, so we'll see how that goes. It's a song called This Day, featured on Terry Wolman, his record Brilliant Guitarist, and he had me featured on this song. It's a Christmas song, or it was on a Christmas album, but yet it's a very, very great pop song. And let's see, oh my goodness, well, just stay tuned and
sure.
Film at 11.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Before I let you go, a couple things I want to let everybody know.
Yes.
That Ellis Hall will be at the Whitney Center in Louisville, Kentucky on January 18th,
2014. Well, actually, it's not the 18th, it's actually the 25th.
The 25th, okay.
25th, yes, sir.
All right. Mm-hmm. You've got the Kennedy Center on New Year's Eve. And a whole bunch of other stuff on EllisHall.com. Be sure and check that out.
Please.
Ellis, I'd like to thank you for being on. I just want to go through my credits real quick, and then I'll let you go, if you don't mind. I need to let everybody know that Stars on Tap is brought to you by LexingtonBroadcasting.com's Kickin' Country USA for the best and top 40 country music on the Internet.
Yep.
I'd like to thank the lovely Miss Rhea Roma of Rhea's Rescues in Hollywood for her hard work in putting these shows together for us and introducing me to some of the most talented people and the nicest people in the world. I'd like to thank her for that. And by the way, her birthday's coming up December 6th, for people that don't know that.
Have to talk about it.
Yeah, she'll be 21 again.
You know what? I heard somebody say, "Young man, age is just a number, and mine is unlisted."
Yeah, there you go. You betcha. I'd like to thank Jimmy Lawson, SpaceCoastIRadio.com, out of Merritt Island, or out of Melbourne, Florida, for playing this show and some other things that we do here. We appreciate Jimmy for all that.
Cool.
I'd like to thank OperationBlanketsOfLove.org, where you can take a blanket or a sheet or a towel, any kind of linen product. And they also need food, and they also need, you know, cash money to operate on. But these little fellas and these animal rescue places, they need all these things just to get ready to go to their permanent home. So if you've got some stuff like that and you want to get rid of it, take it to a shelter and give it to those animals that really, you know, they sleep on concrete floors and you know, paying the electric bill, the heat bill, the food bill, and everything just takes an awful lot of money. And if we could just think of those little fellers at Christmas time and any other time, would be great. And I'd appreciate that. Also, I'd like to thank my wife, Betty Martin, who's our tech advisor. Without Betty, we couldn't pull this off. And she fixes whatever I break, and then when she fixes it, she tells me how it works.
So you know the ladies run the world.
Oh, yeah, well, they do. And I'd also like to thank God for the opportunity of being here today to speak with Ellis Hall about his music and some of the really cool things that he's got going on. And we hope he has a blessed show for the Obamas on January 31st. And I'm your host, Steve Martin. Until next time, enjoy the music.
Amen.